Hi everyone, and welcome to Documentation Station. I'm Steve Welton. Thank you for joining me here on this podcast, which focuses on topics helpful to behavioral health clinicians. I hope you'll find today's episode helpful and maybe a little entertaining. If you want to learn more about me and my consulting practice, you can find me at weltonconsulting.com. If part of your clinical practice, maybe even all of it, is in the service of treating couples, at some point you may have asked the question, can I really bill insurance for couples therapy? About once every week or so, someone will reach out to me and ask me some form of this question, and I thought it might be an interesting conversation here today. This question about couples therapy and insurance can feel like a complicated conversation, and probably more complicated than it really needs to be, but it forces us to navigate our way through the whole understanding of what health insurance does, what couples therapy is, and how it might differentiate from what family therapy is. It also has to do with a lot with the context for the reason a couple may be seeking therapy in the first place. So let's start with what couples therapy is. And let me start off by admitting I am not a couples therapist. But have I done couples therapy? You know, like many of you therapists out there, sure, I have. If you started out in the world of community mental health, like I did, it might be difficult to avoid. And believe me, I tried. I tried as often as I could to not do couples therapy, but I did that work. But it was just not in my clinical wheelhouse. So I have a great respect for competent, excellent couples therapists. But given that I'm not a specialist in the field, as we talk about definitions, I am going to lean heavily here on textbook definitions. And I realize there is more than one version of how this definition goes, but I want to stay about 10,000 feet above the discussion so we can stay focused on the original question of whether there is a path for couples therapy and insurance. But I acknowledge that we could spend all of our time here today just discussing its definition. So, that said, for the purposes in today's conversation, couples therapy is a form of psychotherapy where partners in a romantic relationship enter into treatment with the goal of helping them to improve their relationship. Well, that seems like a safe general way of to define this really important work, and certainly it can take every sort of direction based upon particulars of that. In many, if not most cases, but certainly not all cases, couples enter into this work together. One person might be more motivated than the other, but both are there. They realize together that something within their relationship is not working well. And so they come together in an effort to improve what is not working. Now, many times, what is not working can create distress for one or both partners. So there can be some specifically identified symptomatic and functional issues at play. While couples therapy's goal is not specifically related to saving the relationship and keeping the couple together, it's also typically not explicitly focused on relationship's dissolution either. On those rare occasions when I had a married couple in the therapy room, I would tell them during the first session, if you came here to hear me tell you that you should break up, let me tell you and let me save you the time right now, I will never say that. I didn't see it as my job to make that decision for them, and I wanted to let them know it. My job, as I saw it, was to help them navigate through whatever they were struggling with and help them build better ways of communicating with one another. And that's generally the work in couples therapy, regardless of the approach that you use. Now, there are all sorts of complications that can be stirring through the relationship that can be the catalyst for the relationship's issues. And we'll sort through some of those in a little bit. But for now, let's leave us in that initial place. So, while we have a need related to treatment in the context of couples therapy, we bump it up against health insurance now. As we think about the role of health insurance in the United States, we come back to a notion of a topic we discussed a few weeks ago, namely medical necessity. Now, I won't rework my way through that entire conversation today, but I do want to acknowledge its importance in the context of this discussion. There is generally an expectation from health insurance companies that individuals are receiving treatment due to a diagnosis of some sort, and health insurance will pay for it under its guidelines as long as it was medically necessary. It is the reason why appendectomies are generally covered by insurance, but cosmetic surgery dealing with crow's feet around the eyes is generally not. In most cases with couples therapy, the couple and not the individual is the client, so there is not a clear-cut identification of medical necessity. Now, as I mentioned already, there are occasions where one or both partners can experience elevated distress over the relationship issues, which could theoretically rise to the level of an adjustment disorder of some sort. And certainly, there are situations where this avenue can be used to find coverage for the couple's therapy, but not without its challenges. In the world of behavioral health treatment, the nature of medical necessity establishes the expectation that the work being done is in an effort of symptom reduction and functional improvements of the identified client. It's clear to understand this within the framework of the individual client, because insurance companies certainly do. They have a specific diagnosed disorder, and we develop a treatment plan for them and work to help alleviate the symptoms and improve their overall functioning. And certainly, within that structure of the individual psychotherapy, there is often the opportunity to include family therapy within the treatment plan. And it might even be argued that family therapy is an integral part of individual treatment plans for a wide range of individuals. As we look at family therapy for a moment, as opposed to couples therapy, we might not see any significant difference. Some would argue that the only difference are the people involved in the process. And certainly, if family therapy is the primary approach to the work, that could certainly be true. In general terms, both are focused on more systemic functioning within the relationships. In 2019, in a study conducted by Jimenez and Hidalgo, for instance, they found that structural and systemic family therapy as a part of an overall treatment strategy was effective in improving individual, dyadic, and family adjustment in families with an adolescent with mental health difficulties. And the adolescent, regardless of gender, often shows positive results in behavior through the implementation of structural and systemic family therapy. And this was not just true for the adolescent. It found that parents tend to experience co-parenting differently and respond differently to interventions. But this is in context of an adolescent with a diagnosis. So as we roll back to the idea of couples therapy and insurance, the whole conversation begins with the question, does one of the partners have a mental health diagnosis? Because if we are going to meet the medical necessity threshold, which we've already said we must, a partner in the couple then needs to meet the diagnostic requirement through the assessment process. The treatment plan should be focused on the identified client and the progress notes, while allowing for the work that would normally happen within the context of a family therapy session would need to be documented through the lens of the identified client and a third party, otherwise known as the partner. Of course, there are plenty of circumstances where this is an important approach. In behavioral couples therapy, for instance, we utilize a combined approach of individual and couples therapy to address substance use disorder issues, identifying that these issues do not occur in a vacuum, and substance use issues impact the system as much as it does the individual. There are also different couples therapy approaches for addressing reproductive trauma issues, which will have diagnostic significance yet again, and requires an approach that understandably includes the traumatized partner. As we consider mental illness in the context of the relationship, there is considerable turmoil that can exist within a relationship. Endil Mokuena and others explored the impact of this in a 2019 article titled Lived Experiences of Couples in a Relationship Where One Partner is Diagnosed with a Mental Illness. And they discussed the potential for disintegration of the relationship due, at least in part, to the partner without the mental illness needing to take on more responsibilities, and the importance then for support of the couple to empower them to be able to deal with the changes in those dynamics. The therapeutic process also needs to address the potentially demeaning circumstances of the affected partner due to the potential need of having to be cared for and taken care of. The examples exist within the construct of mental illness in couples, and certainly couples therapy as a key part of treatment makes great sense and would be best practices by any insurance company. And there certainly is a variety of other examples where couples therapy easily fits in as part of an overall treatment plan of the individual. There is clear medical necessity for each of these scenarios. Though, there may be a question of whether this is really family/couples therapy, or is it individual therapy with the partner in the room? That is an important clinical question related to what's really happening in context of the session, and whether the focus of the work is on the identified client and psychotherapeutic, or is it focused on the relationship between the partners and that system? There are also, of course, those circumstances where couples therapy would not be appropriate. Chief among them, of course, is where the therapist is aware of active domestic violence in the relationship. Now, if you're not sure of the answer to that, well, just Google couples therapy and domestic violence, and you'll get an answer as clear as an impactful one as you're going to hope to see from a search engine. The answer is a clear no. Do not give couples therapy under these circumstances. On the other end of the spectrum are those situations where the diagnostic question is not so clear-cut, where the communication style, the dynamics of the couple are key, and where the couple's therapy could be profoundly helpful and the primary modality used in treatment. It is, of course, in these scenarios where the origins of our initial question today resides. Can I do couples therapy and have insurance pay for it? In the other scenarios where it's appropriate and makes sense, certainly it would be part of the treatment and easily billable to the insurance company using the 90847 CPT code. Heck, there's some where there may be a 90834, 90837 type of session. But where it's less clear, and we are without a clear individual client with mental health diagnosis, then we are in a position to start thinking about not billing insurance and having the client pay out of pocket for the service. Now, there are clinicians who will say that any significant relationship disruption within the couple will leave one or both with significant enough emotional distress to meet the criteria for an adjustment disorder. Hey, I mentioned as much a little earlier, and this may be very well the case in much of what you are working with. The question then comes, who gets the diagnosis? Does one person get it? Do both? If only one, does the partner with the deeper symptoms get the diagnosis? Or does the individual with greater resources to operate get the diagnosis? It's a quandary and it's complicated because you have an ethical considerations on your end that you also need to be aware of. My simple recommendation is, if one of the partners in a couple has a mental health issue that meets the criteria of a diagnosis, give that diagnosis. Diagnose what you see. Don't stretch. Don't ignore. Diagnose what you see. If there is no diagnosis, don't create one. Follow your ethics and explain to your clients that they will have to pay out of pocket and get the necessary financial forms signed. If, after the regular assessment process, there is a reasonable diagnosis that's appropriate, give it and build your treatment plan around it and move forward with that plan. At the end of the day, maybe it's not much more complicated than that. This is Documentation Station.